First thing I'd like you to do is participate with me. I'd like you to get a pencil or a pen and write down two verse locations. Matthew 6:13, Romans 6:11. Little hint, when you're trying to remember those numbers, write the number first, the book second. Matthew 6:13, Romans 6:11. Second thing I'd like you to do is memorize those verses with me. You're saying, I can't memorize Scripture. Yes, you can. You can do this. You memorize tons of things. And I want to tell you something. On the authority of God's Word, if you will memorize these two verses and let them shape your daily thinking, you will experience God in a profound way. I can promise you that on the authority of God's Word. Now, Matthew 6:13 is our first one. We're going to say it twice. Most of you have probably memorized this if you know the Lord's Prayer. Are you ready? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. One more time. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I know I said forever and ever, I was throwing you off. Okay, Romans 6:11, you ready for that one? Twice. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now here's what I would like you to see. Those two verses are basically giving the same message. Look at the first part of Matthew, the first part of Romans. They correspond to each other. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil corresponds with consider yourself dead to sin. The second part of Matthew corresponds with the second part of Romans 6. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever corresponds with but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now I want to tell you a story, a true story, that illustrates how extremely important it is that we daily live in light of those verses. A very respected and prominent businessman in a small town was driving home from work one cold, rainy night. As he rounded a curve, he heard a thump under his car. He looked in the rearview mirror, and there he saw a young boy on the road with his clumped bike. Instead of stopping, the man kept driving. He went home, put his car in the garage, went to bed, but he was anxious all night, wondering about that little boy left on the road. Early the next morning, his own son woke him up. "Dad, come look in the garage. Your front headlight's broken and it has blood on it." He lied. He said, "Son, I hit a deer on the way home." The next day, the dad discovered that that little boy left on the road died. A week later, he was discovered, arrested, went to trial, and they threw the book at him. The rest of your life in jail, no possibility of parole. A reporter heard that story and wondered, how could a respected businessman do something that stupid? So he went to interview him, and he heard the rest of the story. He told the reporter, "When I was a young boy, my father owned an old antique watch that he kept in a silk handkerchief in the top of his chest of drawers, and we were never to touch it. One day I went in, took that watch out, took it to school to show my friends, dropped it, and it broke into 1,000 pieces. I put it back in the handkerchief, put it back in my dad's drawer. My dad discovered it, called all the kids to account. Who did it? And I would not admit it. That began a pattern. Every time I did something wrong, instead of facing the music coming clean, I ran, I hid, I denied. That became ingrained in my character. When he hit the little boy, he did what he had always done. He ran. Because he had made little failures in test, he failed the big test. Now, Jesus Christ knows that tests are inevitable. It's just the way life is. And this is why in the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us to pray this. This prayer is not just by rote, it's to hang our thoughts on it. Every day of our life, this structures our prayer life. Lord, Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus is telling us so that we will come to terms with something. We are absolutely powerless in ourselves to pass the test of life. If you haven't come to terms with that, you're going to fail the test. The only hope we have is when the tests come to consider ourselves dead to sin with Christ and alive to God in Christ. This is our only hope. Now, this is interesting because it says, lead us not into temptation. Did you know that the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word for test and temptation are the exact same word? Therefore, it's hard to translate because it's based on the context. A test can also be a temptation. A test can also be a trap. It depends on the condition of our heart. When we're tested, based on the condition of our heart, it either becomes a temptation or an opportunity to trust God through the test. Now, the Bible makes crystal clear in James 1, 13 to 15, when you're tempted, never say, I'm being tempted by God, because God's not tempted by evil, nor does he ever tempt anyone to evil. But listen, God does test his children. It's standard operating procedure. And the tests are designed by him to push us to trust him. To keep living, saying, here's the test, Lord, I consider myself dead to sin in Christ, alive to God in Christ. Now, Satan, the evil one, he does tempt us. He does trap us. And what is his target? It never changes. He always, in the test of life, wants to trap us into our own selfishness, our own sin, and to choose a cheap substitute for God. He wants Christians to forget you died with Christ to sin, you're alive to God with Christ. He wants us to forget that, and here's what Jesus is telling us to pray. Lord, lead me not to my old independent from you lifestyle. Deliver me from that. How? By giving me a heart that says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, what Jesus is going to do here is give us some insights on how to pass the test of life. They are inevitable. They come in little packages and big packages. And this prayer is full of practical insights on how to pass the test of life. The first one is this: expect the test. Expect them. Jesus told us to pray this, and implied in it is tests are going to come. So don't ever be surprised when the tests come your way. Never say, I can't believe this has happened to me. I'm shocked. Never be shocked. Jesus is saying this is the way life is. This is reality. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says this: don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's coming on you for your testing, as if some strange thing were happening to you. You know, if we don't get this one right, it'll destroy your relationship with God. It will. How does that work? Expectations destroy relationships. And if you're expecting and believing this lie that following Jesus means I'm delivered from tests and problems, oh, this is my ticket out. If you believe that, you believed a lie. Your expectations then are love Jesus, no problems. Then your current reality shows up. And the gap between your expectation and current reality is called disappointment. And it'll push you away from God. Jesus is telling us, expect it. Jesus not only taught this, he modeled it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 is an amazing verse. It says, God the Father, through suffering, perfected his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was constantly tested. And with every test, what did he do? He considered himself dead to sin and alive to God the Father. That was his lifestyle. And Jesus is teaching us to live the same way. Christianity is supposed to fill our heart with joy, maturity, peace, in spite of the test of life. Because of the test of life, not in spite of them. The test pushes to trust him. Test. When those tests come, we need to realize what God is doing. We have a heavenly Father who knows every one of his sheep. Every test is designed by him to go after our hearts. He's putting the finger in our heart saying, this is where I need to strengthen you. For example, some of you may be very impatient people. Expect to be tested with lots of folks that push your buttons. Because God is trying to say the tests are so that you will learn to lean upon the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome your impatience. Some of you have trouble loving people. Expect to have some GAs in your life, growth accelerator people. They're coming. Why? Because God wants to test you. Will you say no to sin, yes to God, and by faith in the power of Christ, learn to love people? Maybe you're a person that, God, I need wisdom. Expect it. He's going to put you constantly in places where you don't have a clue what to do. Why? So you'll go to him and say, God, give me your wisdom. I need it. The tests are to make us stronger. The expectation of a Christian is the same expectation of a student. You expect tests. Of an athlete, you expect to go to practice. A new employee, you expect to go through training. When you sign up to be a disciple of Jesus, the tests are inevitable. Never be surprised. Expect them. Life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we respond to what happens to us. My wife and I watched the story of Dr. Ben Carson on PBS a few weeks ago. Dr. Ben Carson, the head of pediatrics at Johns Hopkins, a devout Christian, he was raised in a single-parent home and he was a nominal Christian, but he had a major problem with anger. One day he was sitting on a picnic table with some of his friends and his best friend ticked him off. He took a knife and rammed it into the stomach of his friend. An unbelievable thing happened. He hit his friend's belt buckle, and the knife blade broke in half and fell on the ground. His friend was not hurt at all. Ben Carson ran home, went up to his bedroom, got his Bible, got on his knees and said, Jesus, and started singing to him, deliver me from this anger in my heart. That was the beginning of a pattern. I consider myself dead to that anger sin and alive to God in Christ. This became his pattern, and he overcame his sin problem with anger. Jesus is telling us in this prayer, expect test. Some of you are being tested. You're saying, what's happening? It's not unusual. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Expect it. Second thing ingrained in here, how to pass the test of life, engage the right enemy. Most of us are engaging the wrong enemy. This prayer tells us who the real enemy is. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That word evil can either be evil or the evil one. It's basically the same. It's either the evil in my own sinful heart, or it's the evil that the Satan wants to come out of my sinful heart. Deliver me from evil. Engage the right enemy. The enemy is not bad circumstances. It's not pain. It's not suffering. It's not problems and irritations. It's not people. It's evil. Jesus is saying, if he had only said, lead us not into temptation, if that's all he said, you know what we would be left thinking? Oh, get me out of the mess. I don't want problems. Deliver me. Deliver me. But he didn't stop there. He added this, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. Do you know what it means to be delivered from temptation? to conquer the evil in our heart and the evil Satan wants us to do. That's what it means to be delivered. That's the real enemy. We need to aim our prayers at the real enemy. Are you like me? Lord, would you get rid of that irritating person? Instead of, Lord, I know in my heart they tick me off, so I'm coming to the Holy Spirit to learn to love that person and be patient. In your marriage, do you pray, Lord, would you open my mate's eyes so they'll meet my needs and straighten up? Or, Lord, would you help me come to terms that I'm selfish and manipulative and help me die to that and by faith love my mate as you love me? We're aiming our prayers at the wrong target. The target is evil, and it's in our heart, and Satan loves to fuel it. And the only hope we have is Christ. 10 tons of pain and irritation won't hurt us. 1 ounce of sin will destroy us. If you take coal and put it under intense pressure, it produces a diamond. A Christian going through many tests, living, I'm dead to sin, alive to God, this is where I keep coming, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Engage the right enemy. Don't notice, forget what he said. He said, us, deliver us from evil, deliver us from temptation. Christianity is never, ever a solo flight. It is never just Jesus and me, ever. If you're living that kind of Christianity, you're going to fail the test. It is a family. We need each other. Listen, this is why we don't apologize to you to keep hammering it. Get in a Sunday school class. Get in a small group. Be accountable. You can't make it without that. You can't do it. James 5:16 is a wonderful verse. Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. I believe in accountability, and I've got a lot of accountability. I regularly come clean with the sin in my heart, and so do others to me, because we need that. This is what the prayer is telling us. If I'm doing a solo flight, I'm like the animal outside the herd. The enemy's going to get me. I need to be connected to the body. You know what this also does? It destroys something that's destroying Christianity. Pragmatism. Market-driven Christianity is all about meeting your needs, making you find a better life. It's going to do that, but that's not the point here. Jesus is saying the real problem is not getting your circumstances right and having a wonderful life. The real problem is in your heart. Have you realized what was right before this prayer? Right before this one, last week, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, Lord, now I'm forgiven in Christ. I love your forgiveness. I've escaped the consequences. Next prayer, go after your heart. Deliver me from the evil in my heart. Go after sin. Some people say, you know, I'm considering trying Christianity because it might work for me. I mean, It might make things better. Listen, Christianity is not true because it works. It works because it's true. If you come to Jesus Christ just as another practical thing to make your life better, you missed it. You haven't come to Christ. You have used God. You haven't loved God. We do this all the time. If you seek comfort but not God and righteousness, you'll get neither. If you seek God and righteousness and not comfort, you'll get both. Jesus is saying, I will work for you, but I'll only work for you if I'm your treasure and you want your sinful heart changed. Whether I work for you or not, come to me. How do we pray? Lord, I'll really be yours if you'll let me get that girl. Lord, I'll really be yours if I can pass the exam. I'll really be yours if you let me win. What are we saying? It's not wrong to pray for those things. But if in your heart you're saying, God, you're not my treasure, that is, come through. If I don't get that, you're out of here, God. You've used him. You haven't loved him. What the real evil is in our hearts. Why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost. Where does my heart go after cheap God substitutes? That's what he came to destroy. That he become my treasure and deliver me from that evil. So Jesus is saying, in your prayers, target the right enemy. And the only weapon you've got is Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. That's it. Gives us a third insight. When you're tested, embrace your heavenly Father. Embrace him. How does the Lord's Prayer start? What's the first two words? Our Father. When you're tested, don't say, "Oh, great God, mighty one of the universe who has all power." He didn't say that. It's not just a power out there. It's my daddy. It's my Father. I'm coming to my Father. And I'm embracing my Father. Do you know what this is saying? With every single test, I know my Father allowed it. It never came to me without his permission. I have a perfect heavenly daddy. I don't understand why he would allow it, but I know he's my daddy. I trust him. He's my Father. We've watched Dave and Renee Lyons, our missionaries, trust God with their son Ian in cancer. Still don't know the answer, but what we've seen them do is, "Father, we just trust you. If you take him, we trust you. If you give him back, we trust you. Either way, we trust you." That's what this means. You know what our normal response to tests are? We all do this. There's three normal responses. One response is anger. It ticks me off. This isn't fair. I don't deserve this. I've been keeping the rules, God. Why? You ever had that one? How about another one? The guilt trips, absolute opposite. I deserve this. It proves I'm a bad person. I really am a failure. I'm bad. Or the third one, I'm just hard. Life stinks, doesn't make any sense. I don't care anymore. Those are the three options. Do you know there's a fourth one? Do you know how to get it? Become a Christian. That's how you get it. It delivers you from all three. Because when the tests come, I'm not thinking I don't deserve it. If I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. I don't deserve anything. And I'm not guilt-ridden because Jesus paid for all my sins. So this isn't coming to punish me. Jesus was punished in my place. And I've got a heavenly Father. I don't have to be hardened. Life has meaning. My heavenly Father's got my back. Come to Christ. I've watched my brother Andy model this for me. He was the tool God used to turn me to Christ early in college. And now Andy, who's walked with God many years, passed many tests, has got the big test. He has an architectural firm. He's an architectural illustrator. Because of the economy, all of his employees are gone. He's down to two, him and his son, who founded the company. And he's done everything he can on his side. And he said to me yesterday, "I'm just trusting my heavenly Father." He wasn't angry. He wasn't full of guilt. He wasn't saying life doesn't matter. He was saying, "I've got a heavenly Father. I will trust him." What this basically means is that when I pray this prayer and live this way, I've decided in advance, before the test come, my heart's already set. My treasure is God. The last part of that prayer is my heart. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How will it be thy name? It's all about that kind of heart. I love the story in Daniel chapter 3 of the three Hebrew young men. Nebuchadnezzar called them and said, "Look, guys, you see this golden statue? If you don't bow down, you're going to burn alive in that furnace. As a matter of fact, I've heated it many times hotter. Bow or burn." Do you know what their response was? It's magnificent. They treated God as God. They said, "King, we don't have to answer you, but know this. Our God whom we serve, he's our treasure. He's able to deliver us. He can do it just like that. But if not, Know this, King, we're not bowing. We've got a treasure and you aren't stealing him. He's our God. We won't bow. That's treating God as God. God, would you deliver me, Heavenly Father? But if not, I'm not demanding that you do it. But I'll just trust you. They went into the furnace. What happened? Somebody else was in the furnace with them. The angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. In 1940, during World War II, British troops were backed up to the English Channel and trapped at Dunkirk. And they sent a message saying, do we fight or surrender? The message went through London, came back, three words, but if not. At that time, British people knew the Bible. They were referring to Daniel chapter 3. Go ahead and fight. And even if you don't make it, don't surrender. Let me tell you what encourages my heart. Jesus Christ stood before the furnace of the wrath of God for my sins. And he went to the Father and he said, Father, if it's possible, deliver me from that. But if not, your will be done. And Jesus took the furnace of the wrath of God in my place, so that when he comes to me now and says, here's your test, I've already decided. You went to the furnace for me. I'm going to go in my furnace. And but if not, you're in the furnace with me. I can trust you. When I come to this prayer, I'm telling you what God says to me. Your problem, Steve King, is your sinful heart. And the enemy of your soul wants to stir it up. You have one hope. Pray this prayer every day of your life. Lead me not into the temptation of my old comfort, cover-up, manipulative ways. That's evil. Deliver me from that. And give me a heart that every day says, I'm dead to sin with Christ. I'm alive to God with Christ. I will not bow. I'm trusting you, Heavenly Father, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You are my treasure. Folks, that's authentic Christianity. Anything else is just a cover-up. This is what it is. So I want to ask you today, how's your heart? Are you going through tests? Let me tell you something. If the daily pattern of your life, every day, when the test comes, little ones and big ones, your response is, I consider myself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. When the test comes, it simply uncovers an obedient heart. The test makes you stronger. But if you're neglecting Scripture, you're not walking with God, you're self-centered, it's all about you, when the test comes, you're trapped, you're going to cave, and you'll just feed your selfishness and get mad at everybody. The only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you have never embraced him today. Maybe you've played games with God, give me my stuff and I'll do you a favor, God, and join your team. He won't play with that. He's saying, you deal with your sin. And I'm your only hope. I'm your only Savior and Lord. Come to me. Some of you need to come. Others are going through major tests. Let this minister to your heart. You have a heavenly daddy who loves you. And he wants you to say no to sin and yes to God. So this morning, I'm asking you to join me in making a decision from your heart. Can you pray the Lord's Prayer with me from your heart and really mean it? If so, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.